But it got him so physically tarred that he says, I'm going to die. It's thirsty, and I die of thirst. Well, God provided for that thirst. And we live in a land, and David said, it's a land of thirst. Though I pass through the valley of Baca, in the wilderness, a dry place in the wilderness, we can make it a well. And we do go through dry places. Now remember, the Word of God has given us of actual events that happened, but it's for our learning, for our effect in our lives also. And sometimes you go through the wilderness, seemingly a wilderness of sin, and you get dry and you get thirsty, but God knows where you're going. He knows what you're dealing with. And at the end thereof, he will have provided for our thirst. Remember, the Samaritan woman learned that. She went to the well to draw her water, but she found out that there was one there that could give her living water that would one time for all time provide and quench that thirst she had for the living God. Now let's look at the account. Samson had cried out to God. He had done what God told him to do. Verse 19 says, but God clave an hollow place that was in the jaw, and there came water thereout, and when he had drunk, his spirit came again, and he revived. Isn't that interesting? God takes care of every detail in their life. Can you imagine slinging that jawbone, and he was going to be thirsty and tarred and weary at the end of the slaying of those 1,000 people, and yet he thought he was dying of his thirst, and God knew all that, so he had made a hollow place and provided the water. He is the water, and it never runs dry. Just a spiritual example of what God can do for us. But let's get down to the message in chapter 16. And even though he was strong in the Lord, remember his strength was in the Lord. He had that long hair, and a razor should not come upon him. And don't think for a minute that the strength was in the hair. The strength was in the vow that God had given him to take. And you and I are not strong within ourselves, but we're strong in the Lord when we have the joy of the Lord. That's your strength. And the only way to have that joy is to be separated unto him. It's called sanctification. Not heard a lot in the Baptist circles, I'm afraid. But sanctification is set apart for God to be used of him, to know what he expects of us. And when we sin, and as we sin, we confess our fault, and we admit to him that we are nothing without him. And so we stay separated. We stay sanctified. And the devil doesn't like that. The flesh doesn't look like that. So here Samson is at the, let's read that last verse, verse 20. And he judged Israel in the days of the Philistines 20 years. God had given him that space of time. So we see the ups and the downs of Samson. But now we're entered into that final chapter, the fall of a champion. He need not have fallen, but because of the things he started attending to, was his demise. Verse 1, chapter 16. Then went Samson to Gaza and saw there an harlot and went in unto her. The lust of the flesh, the pride of life. Same thing happened to Eve in the garden. She saw a tree, and Satan told her that that tree could make her wise. So when we look at things rather than the things of God and the lust. And when that lust is conceived, it brings forth sin. And the sin is what separates us from God and gets us weak, and we don't have any strength. I'm not talking about physical strength. I'm talking about strength. Strength to be able to take that lust that was in our eyes or in our mind, and when it's conceived, but it doesn't have to be conceived. When that lust appears, we can turn the other way. But Samson didn't do that. He had went into this harlot. And this was the start of his downfall. And was told the Gazites, saying, Samson has come hither, And they compassed him in and laid wait for him all night in the gate of the city and were quiet all the night, saying, in the morning, when this day, we shall kill him. And Samson lay till midnight and arose at midnight and took the doors of the gate of the city and the two posts and went away with them, bar and all, and put them upon his shoulders and carried them up to the top of a hill that is before Hebron, several miles, heavy armament. And God's still going to teach him a lesson, even though the enemy was there trying to tear him down. And you and I have enemies. They're all around. We don't see those enemies. And Samson did not see those enemies. So he arose at midnight, and he portrayed again his strength and getting rid of the doors of the gates of the city and even the posts and carried them upon the mountain, as if to say to all the enemy, I'm not afraid of you. Maybe his self-confidence was picking up a little bit. And I'm afraid that's what happens. God blesses us often. Thank God for it. We sang about it this morning. And at the same time he blesses us, we realize that we have to stay separated. Not just in the past, but in the future. Separation is what's going on. The enemy is there. Don't forget that. So the first thing we're going to have to look at this morning is the fact that the enemy is there. And they're trying to tear us down. Trying to destroy us. What do? We remain in the Lord Jesus Christ, sanctified for the purpose of serving him, for the fact that no sin should enter in. And when we sin, and if we sin, we confess that sin. So Samson now, he thinks he's above that sanctification mark, and he's headed to a great downfall. Verse 4. And it came to pass afterward that he loved a woman in the valley of Sora, whose name was Delilah. And this is another Philistian woman. It seems as though he was weak in the flesh for those Philistian women. And now he had fallen in love with her, but Satan is entering in and going to try to destroy him. And three different times, we don't have time to go through it, that she has been approached by her people, the Philistines, and said that we will give you all this silver if you will find for us the source of his strength, because he had done a great hurt to the nation and to the people of the Philistines. He had killed them. He had ridiculed them, and they tried to capture him, and every time they did, the strength of the Lord was with him. He would just break the ropes. There was no way. They realized that he had a peculiar strength that they could not understand. And they knew that they lay await for him. It won't do any good. He will escape. He will take the very gates of the city up to the top of the mountain. We can't conquer him unless we find his weak point. Satan is trying to do the same thing to you and I. Every one of us have a weakness. We can be strong in the Lord and the power of his might when we stay separated and sanctified. Remember, it's not our strength. It's the joy of the Lord that gives us of his strength. And the joy of the Lord, again I say, will only appear and only be present in our life to take that sin that so easily beset us. And Satan knows our weaknesses, and he will try in every attempt to use that weakness. For some people, no doubt, it's alcohol. For some people, it may be the lust of flesh to do as Samson did. It may have been women that he had lust for. And whatever the weakness is in an individual, it will deprive you, it will destroy you, it will take the joy of the Lord from you, because the lust of flesh, when it enters in, will cause sin. And that sin will devour and destroy. So Samson now had found another lover, and he thought that that was a woman for him. In the meantime, the enemy is approaching her and said secretly, however you need to do it. So she approached him. But the second thing I want to realize, and help us realize that, how deceptive it is. You would think that he loves a woman, and she comes to him and says, wherein lies thy strength? And you would think that he would think, well, now she is a Philistine. How is it important to her? If she really loved me, she would thank the Lord that I had strength, that I could protect her. And it didn't seem to occur to him that there was an enemy in her that was trying to take her and use her to destroy him. And that's what happens to you and I. When sin is conceived, it bringeth, when lust is conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And that sin seems to darken. It seems to diminish the power that we could look to him and say, I have to stay sanctified. So why would anyone want to know his strength unless they wanted to destroy him and bring about his demise? But that didn't occur to him. Why? Because when sin enters in and you willfully sin, then you seemingly your conscience is seared. The Bible says when your conscience gets seared. So he told her a lie, of course, that if you will take those seven wrists and wrap and tie around me, then I'll be as weak as other men. And so she had called, and in her chamber were those men that would do so. So she wanted to test it first before she let the men appear. Samson, the Philistines upon thee. And naturally, God gave him strength, and it seems as though they just burned off. And then the second time she comes and tries to deceive him, you would think by now he would have realized this woman is out to try to destroy me. But remember, when you have that lust and it is conceived and you act upon it, your eyes are blinded. Not only is your conscience seared, but your eyes are blinded. And I know a lot of people says, I can endure. Have you ever met anyone? I'm sure all of us know people that are alcoholics, that have ruined their life and ruin everything in their families because of alcohol. And talk to them, get to know them, and say, when you took that first drink, I bet you never even thought about the state you would end up. No, it's just a drink. Well, thank God you don't have to take the first drink. It leads to another drink. It's just wine or it's just something like that. And I don't know why I'm going this particular way, but the Lord does. Or whatever that weakness is in your body that you say, I can handle. But the next thing you know, people are deadened to the fact that alcohol is a strong drink and it is raging, it will destroy them. They don't think about that. They just keep on keeping. That's the way Samson's doing. Next time, Samson, if you really love me, you would tell me wherein lies thy strength. Well, if you tie me with a new rope. So naturally, she's going to go get a new rope and tie him, which she did. Then while he's asleep, she says, Samson, the Philistines upon thee. Well, the new rope, of course, was as if it wasn't there. It was broken. And surely you would think after the second time, he would understand and see what she's trying to do. But that's the way sin is. The second drink, the third drink, or the first sin that you commit and you keep on sinning, you keep on cheating, or you keep on stealing, or you keep on depriving, whatever the sin is, it just keeps on and keeps on, and pretty soon you're blinded to the fact that it's going to destroy you. Such was the case with Samson. So third time, Samson, obviously you don't love me. If you did, you'd tell me the secrets of your heart. Well, if you take those seven locks and you weave them and you tie them a certain way, then my strength will be gone. Well, naturally, she did that. Well, he's surely going to be able to figure it out this time, but sin has deadened him, dampened him, darkened his mind. He doesn't even understand what she's trying to do. That's the way sin is. Deceiving, deceptive. So now she does that thing, and the soldiers are those Philistines are in the chamber. So she cries aloud, and she kindly thinks that he's not told her truth. And so his strength comes back, and it doesn't matter because God has given him strength. Whatever the trial, whatever Satan faces you with, can be overcome because the strength is in the Lord, unless you start dealing with that sanctification. Now, when you start dealing with your sanctification, you're set apart. So far, he'd been lying to her and all the deception. He didn't see, he didn't understand. Thirdly, I want to look at the fact that the true case is going to be when you tell Satan or you face up to the fact, Satan already knows, it's our sanctification, our being set apart. The fact that you have to live a life pleasing to him, it won't be pleasing to everybody because everybody expects something different besides what God expects. But when you please the Lord, he will give you strength to overcome. And when you start messing with that, you're going to be broken down and tied down, and you're going to be completely destroyed, such as the case with Samson. Finally, on the fourth attempt, he says, "Well, I'm a Nazarite. We got this vow, see? It's not in my hair, but it's the fact that God told me you have to be set apart. And if a razor comes on my head, all my strength is gone." By this time, he is toying with the very thing. And if you and I lose that separation, that sanctification, we sin, we come short of the glory of God. But when we confess and in our heart, we want to turn from it. But he has willingly told the enemy. And so he gets her, he lies down his head in her lap. Goes into deep sleep, obviously. She calls someone in and shaves his head. And the scripture says, she called the Philistines. This time she has known for a fact. And she has not only the Philistines, but the lords of the Philistines. The ones that have the capability of calling hundreds of people if they want to. And she knows that his strength will be gone. And she wants him captured. Why? Because she has been promised that silver. Satan will deceive and he will be deceptive and he will try to get to the very roots of our serving God. And when he does, there's something that the world's looking at. The only thing you and I have in this world, salvation, of course, I'm talking about the most important thing that you and I have is our reputation. Because people would not listen to you preach or sing if they could every time you stood up and they said, "Well, I know God forgives." And we're going to see how God forgave him, but the fact of it is he was going to be ruined physically and he's going to be approached unto God. So he tells her, and now they do that thing and come in, and the Bible says he wist not, W-I-S-T. And it means he did not understand. He did not perceive. He had toyed with sin so long that his mind was absolutely vacant to the place that if I have my head shaved, I will. It's not just a story this time. If a razor comes on my head, I will lose my separation, my vow, my strength is in the Lord. I'll lose it. And the Bible says he wist not that his strength was gone. But his strength was gone this time. They captured him, they tied him, and they destroyed and put out his eyes. Let's read that account. And when Satan comes and takes the things out of our, the eyesight means the fact that he not only is broken, not only he is withered down, but he can't see physically, and he had already lost his spiritual sight because the things of God wasn't important enough to him. He started toying with sin, playing with sin. And every time you and I get to the fact that that sanctification is not important, and a lot of times people do, you and I know preachers, you and I know individuals, they have toyed with sin, they have done this, it led to that, and it led to something else, and pretty soon their reputation is completely destroyed. And when that happens, God's power is not on them anymore. And they can't be used of God anymore. So here he is. And now they have made a mockery out of him. They take him down, and there he is grinding. I also remember in my little card class, I think this was a deceptive little card, to be careful what you teach children, that he was a strong person, and that he was pulling a great big machine and grinding corn that way. No, his strength's gone. Remember, he's just like you and I, he's just weak. I think they took him out and made him grind corn like the women did. There was this large rock and a little handle, and you crush that corn just what weak people do. And there he was blind. And there he was a sport. Look at Samson. He's the one that killed 1,000 people. Boy, bringing reproach on God. And finally, they were going to make a sport of him. We have captured our God. Dagon has captured this great champion. And what they're trying to do is say his God is weak, and our God Dagon helped us capture him. So they had a great festival, put him down in the center of a great big building. And there he called on the name of the Lord. Let's read the account together. So important he could still call on the Lord. In verse 22, howbeit the hair of his head began to grow again after he was shaven. Thank God there is repentance and there is forgiveness. Reputation's ruined. Brought reproach on God. His sanctification had gone, but thank God he forgives. Damage has been done. But yet, and a lot of people may hear this message today, and you may have been guilty and trampled in sin, and it just about destroyed you. But listen to this verse. The hair began to grow. The sanctification can reappear. God's still strong. It's just that God hasn't been able to use him because he's made the sport of sin. He has not been understanding the fact that when I do that thing and I break that vow, and God's given you a vow, we ought to serve him. We ought to put him first in our lives. And when we don't, we ask forgiveness. And God will forgive us. But listen to the scripture now. And the hair of a head began to grow again after he was shaven. And the lords of the Philistines gathered themselves together for to offer a great sacrifice unto Dagon, their God. And to rejoice, for they said, our God hath delivered Samson, our enemy, into our hand. And when the people saw him, they praised their God. For they said, our God hath delivered into our hands our enemy, and the destroyer of our country, which slew many of us. And what they were really saying, that his God was not sufficient. But it wasn't the fact that his God wasn't sufficient. He came to the place in his life when his God and his vows were meaningless to him. He was willing to go the way of Delilah and the way of the world and sacrifice the things that he had promised God. And when we do, our strength is gone. Our reputation is gone. God's anointed on our life is gone. And all that will bring reproach on our God, just as it is now. They were saying, the whole nation, Dagon, our little God, is bigger than Samson's God. But God's going to bring it all to the test again. And there Samson was, no doubt. Can you imagine how many prayers he had prayed for forgiveness? And God does forgive, and God will forgive. But at the same time, the reputation's gone. All of Israel. Now, he was a judge, remember, of Israel for these 20 years. He was representing God to the people. But because of his weakness, because of his dabbling in sin, the Lord God had been shamed. He had been mocked. And God expects you and I to be sanctified. How many people today, and only God knows, would be in church somewhere this morning, but down through the years, some of the Lord's people, saved people, no doubt, many of them may not have been. A lot of people might have been pretending to be saved. I don't know all about that, but you and I aren't the ones that are required to know that. But people in the name of God had done things wrong and brought reproach on the Lord God, and people saw it, and people dropped out of church or refused to go to church because they saw people that are supposed to be like Samson, toying in sin, sanctification gone, and brought a reproach on the Lord God, and they said, we don't want any part of it. That's a sad situation. One of the saddest situations in the Word of God is when you and I do something, as Samson did, to bring reproach on the Lord God, and all the worldly people are looking around, and they don't see God, but they see God in you, and the hope of glory. And when we represent him and we stand tall and we reprove sin, and we confess that sin, and God forgives their sin. But now Samson, no doubt, had prayed hundreds and hundreds of prayers. God, forgive me. God, give me another chance. And he will, and he did. Unfortunately, it's going to bring his death. Verse 24, and when the people saw him, they praised their God. For they said, our God hath delivered into our hands our enemy and the destroyer of our country, which slew many of us. And it came to pass, when their hearts were merry, they said, call for Samson, that he may make us sport. And they called for Samson out of the prison house, and he made them sport, and they set him between the pillars. And Samson said unto the lad that held him by the hand, suffer me that I may feel the pillars whereupon the house standeth, that I may lean upon them. Now the house was full of men and women, and all the lords of Philistines were there, and there were upon the roof about 3,000 men and women that beheld while Samson made sport. And Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once, O Lord, that I may be at once avenged of afflictions for my two eyes. And Samson took hold of the two middle pillars upon which the house stood, and which it was borne up, of the one with his right hand and of the other with his left. And Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. And he bowed himself with all his might, and the house fell upon the lords and upon all the people that were therein. So the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he had slew in his life. And yes, he got revenge, the great champion who had fallen because of sin, because of neglect, because of the oversight that this sanctification, this God vow doesn't mean much, and I'm willing to share it with another, and therefore he brought reproach on the Lord his God. But in his death, but I remind you, in his death, reputation was gone, couldn't restore that. The reproach he brought on Israel and the nation was gone. And now God gave him his strength back. He forgave him, right? Wonderful. But he died. Would you stand this morning? Your heads are bowed. I always wanted to see that place, the ruins of it. And I met someone in Israel that promised me that to take me there. It was a dangerous situation, but he said, I go there all the time, and I can kindly disguise you. So, and I was going, but they'd put Israel would not let us go. It was too dangerous that day, so I didn't get to go. I wanted to behold the ruins of that place, so it would remind me, which I already knew, that sin will destroy a family, an individual, a nation. Don't toy with sin. The problem was that he was blinded to the fact that when I separate myself from God, God's strength will be gone from me. It seems as though he was blinded by that, and a lot of people do. Your heads are bowed. Brother Randy, if you come sing a song of invitation, whatever God puts on your heart. But for you and I this morning, God has given us this message. He has given us this portion of his word, showing us what an awful thing it was and how Samson, once the champion of God, destroying sin and the people of sin, fell in reproach himself. Why? Because he broke that relationship with God by sinning. Did God forgive? Of course he did. The damage was gone. Not only did it destroy his reputation, but it destroyed his own life. Yeah, he killed more than he had killed in his lifetime, but the fact he died also. So the story and the message is for you and I this morning. Brother Ren's getting ready to sing a song. You may be toying with sin, and you know it will separate you from the strength of God. I didn't say it caused you to go to hell. It didn't cause him to go to hell. If you're saved, you're going to heaven. But the thing of it is, it will destroy everything in your family. And you're like Samson, you didn't see the importance of it. You toyed with it. You played with it. You shared it with others. But this morning, God has come to you and let you know, I'm visiting you today to stop it before it progresses, Father, because it will progress, Father. It ruined individuals, their families, not just you, see, all his family. Can you imagine his family now in Israel, how there's a boy, he was representing their God, the champion. And now they're hanging their head in shame. Our champion let sin separate him from God and his strength, his might, his reputation was gone. Don't let it happen to you. You say, what's already happened? God forgives. Come this morning, whoever you are, this message is for you, brother. You may be here this morning and it's not you that's in the middle of a situation that you realize is wrong and you can't get that. But you know people. You know people. And I know people. Exactly like they once served God, saved or not, I don't know. But they went to church and then sin overcame them or some person hurt them. And they're not in church. And you can't do a thing within yourself to get them back in church. But the Lord could. They may be like Samson. They may have done something and they are completely blinded to what even happened. But Samson prayed to the Lord. And God gave him his strength back. You may have somebody like that on your heart this morning. Would you make an effort to come and pray for that individual? See, God came upon Samson. He had been that champion. He had been that warrior that God had selected. And many people you and I know are in almost the same situation. They've been blinded. They've been taken out of action because they have not been willing to separate themselves to the sanctification God wanted them to be. And you and I know them. Would you come pray a prayer for them as we sang that last verse? God answers prayer. Thank you. just such a subtle thing. Every one of us here would think that on the third time, and particularly fourth, Samson would have realized what the enemy's up to. But see, the thing is, he was blinded. And people get blinded. They don't realize the scarce opportunity they have of serving God. They don't realize it may be the last opportunity they have. They're blinded to that. God opened their eyes and let us have common sense to see that sin will destroy. Samson was a smart individual, but he was so blinded, he didn't see what's happening to him. And that's the demise. That's the serious part about it. One other verse, we'll be closing. Amen. You can be seated for a minute. The usher is going to come. We're going to receive a special offering for Brother David. He's been through so much and so many hospitals and really high debt because of that, no doubt. So we're going to give. And if you'll stand up this morning, he's with us this morning, so everybody knows.